When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
Hey everyone, Josh here from Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Have you been to our website, fearscapepodcast.com? There you can check out our store with all of our awesome t-shirts, check out guests that have been on the show, listen to the podcast directly on the website, even donate and help us bring you awesome content. Please consider supporting us. FearscapePodcast.com.
Hello there. My name is Sam.
And I'm the man with no name, Lance Wayne.
And we're the hosts of The Antagonists, an all-villain podcast. You can join us every other Thursday for a new episode as we discuss all of your favorite villains from books, movies, and more.
Are the villains you love to hate really as wicked as they seem? Tune in and find out.
You can find us on all major podcast platforms or join us over on fearscapemedia.com.
Hello, I'm so glad you could join us. I hope you brought your blanket to hide under. The spooky crew is going to discuss things and events from other realms. Ghosts, cryptids, aliens. Be sure to hold your blanket extra tight as the boys take you deep into the fearscape.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another cool-ass episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. I am your host, Stefan Gearhart, and I am joined, as always, by my frightfully delicious co-host, Mr. Josh Rutledge. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. And you know what? When you said this is a cool-ass podcast, The first thing that popped in my mind was cool water. Remember
the cologne?
The cologne.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Cool water, baby. Yeah.
It's still around, but...
But you get it at Walmart.
Yeah.
That's what I found out. It's like all the ones that were like super popular. Remember how expensive CK1 is?
Yeah.
And now it's at like Target for like $8 for like the giant bottle.
Or you can go to the gas station and put a dollar.
Or to the homeless guy at the end of the street because he got it all on bulk on Wish. Cool water. There's also like an old cowboy song called Cool Water. Yeah. Cool water. Some old cow. My grandpa used to sing it.
Never heard that one.
Yeah, I wasn't singing it right. Speaking of cool, it is October, so it's starting to get a little cool, unless you're in Arizona like me.
Right. I would imagine, though, even in Arizona, it's cooler.
It is cooler.
Yeah.
Yes.
People are walking around a park is probably.
It hits like... 69 here, and people are in parkas. In like hats and scarves. It's insane.
Like, we went, so my wife and I went to Disney World several years ago at the end of January, thinking, you know, hey, it's Florida, right? But we got, so like, we packed all these shorts and everything and t-shirts, and I think I packed one pair of jeans because you never know, right? So you always pack one pair of jeans. So we got down there, it was a 3-day trip. And it rained the entire time and didn't get out of the 50s.
Yep, it can happen.
So, like, we had to, like, go buy, you know, I had to go buy a hoodie jacket thing to wear because it was so cold. And
that happened to me a few weeks ago when I went and visited my sister in Michigan. It was, like, 96 here, you know, but I get up to Michigan and it's, like, already cold. It was, like, 53 degrees one day. And we were supposed to go to the beach. It was like supposed to get up to 72, and we went out to this beach because it was Labor Day weekend. And we did not get in the water, and I didn't bring a jacket or anything. So we're just sitting at this picnic table talking the whole time, and I'm freezing.
Freezing, wind's blowing
because,
on you.
Yeah, because the wind's blowing, and it maybe hit 65, and it had rained that morning too, and then it sprinkled while we were. It was so cold, and I didn't bring anything. But I mean, Michigan's pretty comparable to Kentucky around that time of year.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I've got family that live in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And they're, like, talking about the first snow is coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah, when I grew up in Toledo, that's the way it was. It seemed to snow either right at Halloween or a few days after, or at least by Thanksgiving, and then it was on the ground till March for the most part.
So,
but anyways,
long-ass introduction.
Long-ass introduction. All of that, the whole reason for all of that was to tell you to make sure to like and review. Like and review our podcast. It really helps us get more exposure and get our numbers out there. So please like, review, and share this podcast wherever you listen. You know, most of the places you can at least share, but a lot of them you can review 5 stars, 4 stars, nothing lower than that.
If you want to take it upon yourself to print out flyers and hand them out to your neighbors.
You can do that, too.
You can do that, too. You know, old school, roll around and put in people's paper boxes. Not their mailboxes.
Not the mailboxes. You get in trouble for that.
Paper box.
Paper box.
If the mailbox is around.
Anyways, like, review, and share, and all that jazz. But also, we got a really neat and interesting episode because we're going to be talking about something that this is one of those things that everybody's like, have you guys reported on this yet? No, we had not until now. And it is the Black Eyed Kids or the Black Eyed Children.
Yeah, not to be confused, Black Eyed Peas.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, or Blackbeard the Pirate.
Right.
No.
Who I'm related to.
This is just a creepy, weird phenomena that's really been gaining some traction. I don't know if it's due to creepypasta or the internet or what, but I guess we'll dig into that. But let's just go ahead and get it moving because I'm ready to be done being scared by these things.
Because
there's two things that scare me the most in horror movies, and it's kids and old people.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Like, really?
Even more than clowns. If there's a scary kid or a scary grandmother, I'm done.
So if they made another Freddy movie and he was like in a wheelchair or with a walker.
So keep him. Keep the actor.
Yeah, but like keep the actor. Like, so he's old and he's like in a walker. He's like, slow down, I'm almost there.
But like, whatever, one of the last, yes, it's freaked me out. Like, one of the last, so there's two horror movies with old people that really freak me out. There's the Haunting of, what is it? The Taking of Deborah Logan, I think. And it's about this old woman who gets possessed by a demon, and it's freaking creepy. Oh my God, it's good. And then there is that, one of the last M. Night Shyamalan movies was called like The Visit. And it's about these two kids that go to their grandparents' house. Creepy as they're just scary.
Yeah, so there was a recent, I can't remember the name of the movie, you might know, but it was like a kind of like a demonic type thing. I just remember there's a scene where they're like in a diner in the middle of the desert. It's not The Omen, and they're like all of a sudden this like grandma sitting in a booth, like turns around and climbs up on the wall.
I know what
climbs
you're
up on
about.
The ceiling.
What
and
is that?
Is it Legion? No, it's not. But anyways, so
I know what you're talking about. Though.
But then, like, there's this like really weird demon thing that's got all long arms and legs and stuff. But yeah, the scene with the grandma where she's like gets up on the ceiling and then spews stuff out of her mouth.
Yeah,
like,
man. Same thing. There's a show on Netflix called Marianne. And it's same thing. Just old people and kids freak me out, man.
Unfortunately, I don't a little bit. You know, I don't think I'm going to alleviate that tonight.
No,
tell you.
You're not. Anyways, let's go ahead and move into our first topic so we can get to the creepos. So let's get into our first segment. Is what I meant, not topic, which is the psychic word of the week.
And now the psychic word. Of the week.
All right, our psychic word of the week comes from the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary from Dr. June G. Bletzer. Rest in peace, Honey Bear. This dictionary has all sorts of psychic terminology, and we flipped the pages through bibliomancy, and this week I landed on the term serpent power. This is not Serpentor from G.I. Joe. Or Cobra. But anyways, it says serpent power, esoteric. The definition says a collective word pertaining to the whole function of the kundalini. Number two, a barely visible, intelligent, gaseous fluid, which is gaseous fluids, aren't that already like a oxymoron?
Yeah.
Anyways, gaseous fluid lying dormant at the base of the spine when mankind makes his or her first few incarnations in the earth plane, it travels up the tiny hollow in the center of the spinal column as one progresses in his or her evolutionary cycle. This serpent energy meets the silver cord at the top of the head after many incarnations. Current science says this substance is a high-grade form of bioplasm, concentrated prana, or living electricity. I really did think serpent power was going to be like, you got the powers of a snake.
Well, so it makes me wonder, so, you know, everybody says, or people talk about that we have a tail in the womb, right?
Right.
And there are some kids
people that still have
a little bit when they're born. And so I always wondered, you know, we're supposedly in our evolutionary track, a descendant or our closest relationship is, you know, with apes.
Right.
Well, apes don't have a tail. So then there's a part of me that, you know, wonders, like, what if we're descended from lizards?
Well, I'm going to throw this out there because I've been listening to a bunch of true crime stuff lately, and there was this one. They were looking for human remains that had been burned in a burn pile. So they find this bone, and they were saying that it's very hard a lot of times to differentiate in it between pig and human, and that is the only two animals that are similar like that. Apes, none of them. Their bone structure and everything is so different from ours. But this is also why they dissect pigs, because they are so similar to humans. Look at their skin, everything. It makes you wonder.
Well, I mean, I even know people who have had heart surgery and they got pig valves.
Pig heart, yeah. So it's like, has anyone ever looked at whether or not we're descended from pigs? Like,
I mean, yeah.
Because the more and more I keep hearing stuff, the more and more I keep seeing that they're saying, oh, well, we're like pigs. We're like pigs. Or maybe pigs are from us.
Yeah.
Maybe they are de-evolved versions of us. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. But, yeah. So, to get back to that, if we have an ancestral heritage with lizards, and that energy that's primordial, whatever that word
primordial.
Is. There you go. Is still remaining in us somewhere. Then that could be what she's talking about there.
That too, and just talking about that energy that goes up the hollow of your spine, like she was talking about, that over time eventually hits the silver cord that connects you to the ethereal realm and all that.
I can't remember if I said it on here or if I was just saying it to you anecdotally, but somebody, one of the groups I was on Facebook, it said something like, your life path number in numerology is the number of times you've incarnated.
You did say that on here a few weeks ago.
Okay. So I just, again, though, thinking about it, you know, that thought process, though, is that, you know, I think 13 is the highest life number.
Depends on the thought system, but yeah.
According
to the numerology.
According to numerology. Gotcha. And so I'm just wondering if, like, you know, you peak. You know, you can only reincarnate 13 times, and then what happens? So.
At that point, I guess you would reach nirvana and become one with the universe.
Right.
So.
So according to my life number, I'm on 6.
Oh, man. I don't remember what mine was. Maybe mine was 9 or something like that.
Yeah, I should calculate it.
It's been a minute. Anyways, serpent energy. I gathered nothing in terms of serpent stuff, but is just that the way it goes through your spine is serpent-like is kind of what I gathered.
Snaky.
That. Though, again, I would just let me be Serpentor.
So. Okay, yeah. Is that the guy that had snake hands, too?
He had the big cobra head, and like from the movie, G.I. Joe the movie.
But it's there was an action figure that had like snake heads for hands.
I don't remember.
That might have been He-Man.
It could be. That feels more He-Man.
Yeah. Anyways.
Right, yeah, anywho, let's go ahead and move on to our spooky news. All right, spooky news. What I got this week comes from the pressherald.com. This is actually about a month or so or two old, but we've had such interesting stuff over the last few weeks that I've kind of put this one off. But it's still a good one. And like I said, so the headline reads, "Horses and ponies targeted in mysterious ritual-like mutilations. Up to 30 attacks have been reported in pastures across France. Armed with knives, some knowledge of their prey, and a large dose of cruelty, attackers are going after horses and ponies in pastures across France in what may be ritual mutilations. Police are stymied by the macabre attacks that include slashing and worse. Most often, just an ear, usually the right one, has been cut off, recalling the Matador's trophy in a bull ring. Up to 30 attacks have been reported in France, from the mountainous Jura region in the east to the Atlantic coast. Many this summer, the agricultural minister said it on Friday. One attack was registered in February, according to the news magazine Le Point. With each attack, the mystery only seems to grow. Agricultural Minister Julien Dormandy says, "We are excluding nothing. Ears are cut off, eyes removed, an animal is emptied of its blood," he said, spelling out the morbid fates befalling one of France's most beloved animals. "All means are in motion to end this terror," he tweeted. After the first solid sighting of an attacker in Auxerre and Burgundy, they released a composite sketch this week based on a description by a man who wrangled with two of the attackers at his animal refuge in a village in Bourgogne-Franche-Comté region. I didn't have to say region. Nicolas de Majon, which is his name, he runs the refuge Ranch of Hope. He said, "I used to have confidence putting my horses out to pasture. Today I have fear in my gut." Alerted by his squealing pigs, he faced down two of the attackers. He himself was injured in the arm in a struggle with one intruder wielding a pruning knife as the other slashed the sides of his two ponies. He's now recovering but is traumatized, as is one of the ponies. The man fled in a vehicle. The following day, an attacker or attackers bled a young pony in Saint-Lectur. In another case, some of the horse's organs were removed. And then a donkey was reportedly participated in the past in a Christmas market in Paris was killed in a gruesome attack in June. Theories abound as to whether these acts are a morbid rite of an unknown cult, a chilling challenge relayed by social media, or simply copycat acts. Speculation is widespread as to how barbaric acts, some surgical, could be perpetrated without solid knowledge of equine anatomy or on a horse in a pasture presumably able to flee. A fearful horse in a pasture won't get caught. The horse who feels confident with people, he'll come. Find it normal that you put a harness or a rope around its neck. I'm not sure that you need a great knowledge of horses, Girado said in an interview. Knowing how to approach them from the front and not the rear is important. An ear can be slashed off while the horse is standing, but the animal would need to be prostrate for grislier mutilations, she said. This was a veterinarian that stressed she didn't want to describe how to put a horse on the ground so as to not give the least sort of tools to make it easier for those out there. Just continues on to basically they're all just saying they're afraid of what's going to happen, because they may be big animals, but really at the end of the day, they're lambs, and that's how vulnerable they are. So that's just, some weird stuff. And I did try to do a follow-up. I haven't seen anything, so it doesn't look like they've found an answer yet.
Well, do you remember the second or third of the last episode of Skinwalker Ranch? They had Linda Moulton Howell, she came on when they had that cattle mutilation.
Yeah, I already knew what you were talking about,
And so, she talked about, in all the mutilation investigations that she had done, that whatever side of the head is skyward, that's the one where, things are taken. And so it almost, I know that they have, of course, witnesses who attack, actual people. But those people could be copycats.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just much like all the things we always discuss.
Right. And then the other side, or the flip side, or if you will, is that those people are purposefully getting caught or seen as to, put the focus, not on something else. You know what I'm saying? So it actually could be, I'm going to go out on a limb here, it could be Men in Black.
Right.
Doing these things so that you don't think it UFO. Because you notice, nowhere in that story did it come up as a theory of being related to UFO and cattle mutilations. So, because somebody was actually attacked by a person, they assume it's all other people doing it.
Yep, absolutely.
Anyways.
So, and it's weird, and I guess because it's horses and ponies? I don't know. Very, very interesting stuff. But a little more macabre than what we're used to talking about.
Yeah.
But it's been sitting in my file for a while, so I wanted to share that with you guys. But anyways, we're going to move on to our UFO/UAP sighting of the week. All right, so we're going to be talking about our unidentified aerial phenomenon or UFO sighting of the week, where we take a look at New Fork or MUFON or the news or wherever we can find something, and we kind of just pull a sighting for the week. And so what do we got this week?
So this actually comes back back in September. This is comes from the September 4th in York County, Virginia.
I was heading back from a friend's house, coming back into York County from Newport News, and I was pulling up to the first stop intersection that has Kiln Creek on the left and Burger King on the right. This was around 3:20 a.m. The area was quiet, open, being an eight-lane road with single-story businesses and a mid-sized man-made lake that parallels the road. Suddenly, a bright flash caught my eye. I immediately looked to my left, and about 400 to 600 feet above the tree line, a big semi-cab size what appeared to be orange star-colored translucent cube with its edges glowing plasma white. The sky was extremely clear at that moment, and it just looked like it shot out of nothing. Slowly rotated around two times while leaving a small line white trail similar to a shooting star. Then proceeded to blast off about 3 to 5 miles at light speed and disappeared back into nothing. I've seen several UFOs before much further up in the sky and the traditional shapes, but this thing was unlike anything else. Its proximity, shape, and speed were completely foreign to me. Almost as if it jumped in through a portal and then immediately left after 2 seconds.
So we got portals.
Well, I mean, somebody else has speculated that they phase in and out of our existence, that they're not actually extraterrestrials, they're interdimensional beings or whatever, and so their ships are phasing in and out. That's why they just all of a sudden leave.
Right,
and not necessarily zip away, but they just all of a sudden disappear.
They're folding space like in Dune.
Yeah.
Or what was the other one where they like fold a piece of paper and then shoved a pen through it? What was that?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
It's like some movie.
I can see it in my head, but I can't think of what the movie was.
I can't think of what it is either. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'll look it up sometime.
I want to say it was like a Star Trek related movie or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyways, but again, I can see it in my head.
They didn't have paper in Star Trek. Well, Star Trek 4.
Yeah. The whales gave it to them.
Yep.
But a cube. I mean, there's that picture that was circulating around a few months back. I can't remember where. I think it might have come from NASA. NASA had taken like really good images of the sun, and in like the upper quadrant of the sun, you could see what looks like a cube, blacked out shape.
Oh yeah,
in front of the sun.
I remember that.
So everybody, of course, was chiming in and saying, well, obviously it's just a pixel that didn't render when they created the photograph, and that kind of makes a little sense from a pixelated perspective, but here's a sighting with a cube. So it kind of, I don't know, brings a little more credence to that idea that maybe there are cube craft. So,
well, remember in Unidentified and stuff, some of those sightings they talk about, they show those like squares. Those
yeah.
just, they look like blocks of sugar.
Right.
Flying around, essentially.
Right. Which, yeah, it, you know, it at least with traditional, you know, UFO craft being, you know, disc shape or whatever, they still have some sort of aerodynamic appearance. A cube is just a flying brick. I mean, it's, there's like zero aerodynamics, and, you know, unless it's hollow or something, so.
All right. Well, I did find, I'm pretty sure that what we're thinking of, though it seems to be a common trope in sci-fi films
okay.
and stuff, but one of the references people talk about seeing it in was Event Horizon. He did it in there.
Yeah.
Where he folded a napkin, or I mean, like a comic book or magazine together and did it.
But what you're talking about is like a piece of printer paper. Because I'm.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, but I, again, can't think of what it.
Yeah, I can't either. So that's about all that's all I've been able to find so far was them talking about that. I mean, that it's referenced in some books and stuff like Restaurant at the End of the Universe and some things like that. But
I mean, I try to block out most of Event Horizon, so.
Yeah, I know. But it's so good. It's so scary. But yeah. So I guess, yeah, that's very, very interesting now that I'm stuck on thinking about wormholes and all that stuff and other scary stuff with Event Horizon. So I guess, you know, we could move on to Creepy Catch-Up. But beforehand, we both talked. It's been kind of a quiet week.
Kind of dry, yeah.
So I guess we'll just go ahead and move straight into the Creepy Kids, to the Black to the Black-Eyed Kids. So, yeah, so I apologize if you guys were looking for some good creepy catch-up. Didn't happen this week. So, anyways, yeah, so I guess we'll go ahead and take a quick ad break.
Yep.
And then we'll jump right into the Black-Eyed Children.
Fearscape Media Network is your new home for everything weird and enlightening. Check out podcasts and YouTube shows covering content from discussions on horror films to the paranormal to meditation. Find out more at fearscapemedia.com.
Voting isn't just going to the polls on election day anymore. Options like early voting, mail-in voting, and ballot drop boxes are available to more voters and are growing in popularity. How to Vote, a tool created by Democracy Works, breaks down the options your state offers for casting a ballot and empowering you to decide when and where to vote. Decide when and where you'll vote this year at howto.vote.
All right, so we are back. Thank you guys so much for sticking around, and we're going to go ahead and get right into this, talking about the Black-Eyed Kids, or the BEKs, the Becks, so to speak,
yeah.
Talking about them. So, Josh, what do we got this week going on with the Black-Eyed Kids?
So let me first say that I did quite a bit of research, and I came across a website that referenced a lot of stories. And they're like, you know, we found, you know, this, we found this story on this website, but you can't go look at it because the website doesn't exist anymore. And this is just a reminder to everybody out there doing internet-based research. There is a Wayback Machine.
Yes.
Use it.
Yes.
If you just Google Wayback Machine, I think it's like archives.org or something like that. But every website on the internet since they got started, which is like back in the early 2000s, they've taken snapshots. And so you can go back and look at a website's history from 2001.
Oh, yeah. We went back and looked at our old improv troupe website from 2000.
Yeah.
And an old Angel Fire website.
I mean, you can find all kinds of stuff that you couldn't necessarily, you know, you won't be able to find it doing a Google search.
Mm-mm.
But if you know that something's there, you can go and I'll tell you right now. Once you start going down the way back black hole, you'll just get lost in it.
Dude, so. I've been on hamsterdance.com so many times. My wife's like, again? I'm like, oh, yeah, I just want to watch the hamsters dance for a while.
So, yeah, so anyway, so that's all. So anybody doing internet-based research, again, just Google the Wayback Machine. I think it's like archive.org or something. You just put in a website you want to look at, and it brings up all of the archive saves that it has of the site, mm-hmm. when it was backed up, all that kind of stuff. You pick your year, you pick your day and your month, and you click on it, and boom, you can look at the website as it existed at that day and time.
Yep, it's fantastic, man. Going back, finding old message boards and things like that. I mean, you wouldn't have any problems finding like stuff with John Teeter and all that
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. I mean, most of those sites kept all that stuff around because of the history of it, but still. So that's my little internet plug out there for internet researchers. So, all right, so the Black-Eyed Children. So this all really began with a gentleman named Brian Bethel from Texas, Abilene, Texas. Just kind of to set the stage, some characteristics of these Black-Eyed Children are usually that they're between the ages of 6 and 16. They typically only appear at night, only when adults are alone in parking lots or in their homes.
No!
The kids come in groups of two or more and ask for favors. The favor could be to make a phone call, to get a ride home, to come in and get something to eat, or to use the bathroom. The few people who have had interactions with the Black-Eyed Kids express a feeling of unexplainable fear when the children are near.
Yeah.
So again, so this all started or was brought, let's say, brought to our attention.
Well, I mean, first of all, let me tell you, black-eyed anybody is creepy because this is where the whole eyeball is blacked out, right? Just like April Lee's story from weeks ago that my sister read, where she had seen an old woman on the side of the road with those black eyes.
Well, I thought it was they were like gone. They were.
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's what that story was. They were like just
blacked out.
They were just gone.
Oh,
like,
I don't
know.
She
had no eyeballs.
I read it as like black. Like just like, but I mean, it could have been one of those where it was vague like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, interpretation.
Yeah.
So Brian Bethel brought this to our attention back on January 16th, 1998.
Wow, this has gone back that far. Yeah. I've only just learned about it within the last year. That's really interesting.
So the story goes that it was around 9:30 p.m. on January 16th, 1998. And Brian had left his apartment in Abilene, Texas, for the Dropbox to pay his internet bill. On the way, he stopped at the Dollar Movie Theater next to his service provider's building to use the glow of the marquee lights to make out his check.
So this is 1998, so he's heading to AOL and Prodigy and CompuServe?
Probably. What was that other one that was really big? Start with an S. No, I take it back. That was a browser. It was the Navigator. Netscape Navigator.
Netscape, yeah. They did end up coming out with their own, and then Net Zero, and then all these other ones that tried to do. But it was all dial-up.
Yeah.
So.
But anyways, so he's sitting there at the glow of the marquee making out his check. I'm curious how many people know how to make out a check anymore. as he did this, there was a knock on the window, and he looked and saw two young boys. He figures they were between 10 and 14 years old.
So my first thing is I'm like, I wonder, since it's night, it's dark enough where he's got to check the light to make out his check. So there's a part of me that, like, would my first instinct to be like, hey, little guys, what are you doing out?
Well, it's 9:30 p.m. in January.
Oh, so it's darker than hell.
It's dark.
Yeah, so my first inclination would be like, are you kids lost?
Right.
Okay. I want to see what Mr. Bethel.
So he describes the boys. So boy number one was slightly taller than his companion. He was wearing a pullover, a hooded shirt with a sort of gray checked pattern and jeans. He says he couldn't see his shoes. His skin was olive colored, and he had curly, medium length brown hair.
Wow, olive colored. That puts us back to Men in Black, stuff. Yeah. The Keel stuff. Interesting.
He exuded an air of quiet confidence. Boy number two had pale skin with a trace of freckles. His primary characteristics seemed to be looking around nervously. He was dressed in a similar manner to his companion, but his pullover was a light green color. His hair was sort of pale orange. They didn't appear to be related, at least directly. So the first boy, though, began to tell Bethel that they needed his help. They wanted to see the new Mortal Kombat movie.
The first one was good.
Yeah. But forgot their money. Instead of asking for the money, the boys asked for a lift to their house to retrieve it.
Wait, now how old were these kids again? He estimates.
He estimates between 10 and 14.
All right, so pretty sure Mortal Kombat was rated R.
Yeah, but that, I mean, it's Texas.
Actually, you know what? It was probably PG-13.
Because there wasn't any...
There wasn't any blood, and there wasn't any gratuitous
sexuality.
If this was 98, this would have been the second one.
Okay.
So, because the first one came out in 95. God, that PlayStation's older than I realized. Well, because it went back to Super Nintendo. Never mind. But yeah, so 1997, and it was indeed PG-13.
Okay. the boy says, you know, basically he's trying to coax him and letting them give it in. And he says, come on, mister. We just want to go to our house. And we're just two little boys. And come on, mister. Let us in. We can't get in your car until you do.
Oh, no.
Just let us in, and we'll be gone before you know it.
These are car vampires is what they are.
We'll go to our mother's house. Number one, what kid says mother?
I know. Mike Pence when he was five. Yeah.
So Brian Bethel then found himself unlocking the door without realizing and as if instructed by the child to do so. After catching his hands, he looks back at the kids with a fresh perspective. That's when he realized the kids' eyes were solid black.
Oh, no.
No iris, no pupil.
So that means he hasn't looked at their face really yet.
No. Now, this, what I found here about this account says that all the stories that they had seen, that once you see that their eyes are all black, that's when things get dangerous.
Oh, so they shift. Those eyes can shift. So it's like a cat, we were talking about once before. When a cat's eyes go black, run. Get out.
So the second boy continued to stand there completely silent, where the first boy threatens him, saying, we won't hurt you. You have to let us in. We don't have a gun. According to Bethel, the boy was implying that they didn't need guns. He started pulling at the door and demanding to be let in. With the courage he managed to find, Bethel pushed his car into reverse and sped home, leaving the boys where he found them. Mm. I mean, I hope he didn't lose his internet connection, because he didn't just pay the bill. So fast forward here to November 14th, 1998. This is another update from Brian. He apparently didn't talk too much about seeing the black-eyed kids after the first, after his first post, even though his audience was hounding him with questions. The next one to encounter the kids is his friend, John. John Northwood was one of Brian's online friends who was a pagan rights coordinator for an Oregon organization called Spirit. Brian Bethel claims that he never told his friend about his encounter. Yet this is an interaction that they, towards the end of the same year, it takes place over the chat. It starts with John asking if the chat, they really believe in ghosts or kids with funny eyes. And then it launches into his own anecdote with a group of black-eyed kids. Now, I wouldn't even actually find John's story. But here is, you know, someone could say is a copycat, right?
Right.
He's a friend of the original poster. But, you know, Brian says he never told his friend about anything that happened. So. All right. Here comes another one at you. So this, we're going to fast forward a little bit into August 28th, 2006. So this is a story about this person lived in Denver area, not Denver proper, but the suburbs. And they were at a mall one afternoon, mostly shopped with friends, but this time they were on their own. When they were leaving, there was the usual group of kids around, not too far from the doors. They'd go out and smoke, as I think it was allowed. It was not allowed inside. Generally a little watchful, as from time to time there'd be someone mugged by some kids. Mm-hmm. I skirted some what they say is WOBs, which is wearers of black.
Because they're not all men, I guess.
I guess. Or, you know, I guess they don't want to say goth.
Here come the wearers of black.
I don't know. And there were a couple of kids off to the side. A bigger kid, about 12 or 13, going by general size, and a younger one. They were apart from the other groups of kids. They noticed that their body language was not quite like the other kids that mm-hmm. were hanging out. They crossed the street in the parking lot area to the car park and was most of the way across the street when they looked straight at them. This is what it says. I am a small adult, only 5'1" and about 95 pounds at most. So I was aware that I looked like someone who could be overpowered. Anyway, they looked at me and sheer dread went through me. Not like I was fearing being attacked or abducted. This was a shock of looking at evil. I picked up my pace as I headed to the row where I parked. The older one called out, "Miss!" The tone was pleading and oddly. Though I was in quick departure mode, it made me want to slow down and look again. I can't explain it. I shook that feeling off and was now at a very fast walk and almost breaking into a run. I glanced toward the doors where the other people were. The people coming and going and the wearers of black. The other kids had sort of grouped away under the overhang near the doors. They were watching and looking real uncertain. The thought occurred to me that I was not going to be on the news that night. I looked back at the kids who were following, and they had really covered ground behind me. The older one was too close, the younger one right behind him. The older one said, "Ma'am, please." The same tone, and I looked at him again, his face, his eyes. And as I turned my head again toward my car, it hit me. Black eyes, black pits. The fight or flight thing kicked in, and I broke into a run. They were jogging behind me, calling out. I clicked the unlock on the car and jumped in. They were two cars away, coming between the cars. I looked at them as I started my car and jammed it in the reverse. I was so glad I drove one of the supercharged Integras, because I was planning on leaving fast. As I looked at them, they looked angry. I could hear the voice. It was no longer pleading, more angry and urgent. And the eyes, both black eyes. I was honestly scared, and I keep fairly cool head in emergencies. I backed out barely looking. No people walking, and I didn't care if a car was coming. I backed out just as they got to where the front of my car had been, and I was out of there, tires screeching.
I would be too.
I turned the corner past the door as I had come out, and I noticed that most of the kids had been there were gone. Only two were right at the doors with their hands on the door handle, and the look on their faces was of shock and fear. I pride myself in being a safe driver, but I took back roads and drove like a bat out of hell. I pulled into the garage and sat there for about 5 minutes before getting out of my car. I don't know how to convey the absolute sheer evil that I felt from those kids, but that's my story.
Wow. Like I said, I'd be gone too. First of all, just seeing a kid already, I'm out. Right?
Well, I got kids.
Yeah, I know. I get out. If you're not here, I'm gone. you go to the bathroom, and I don't want to see their eyes turn to black. That's all. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Well, I mean, they make those contacts now that, mm-hmm. that you can get that turns your eyes different colors. Yeah. And I guess they probably had those in early 2000s too. But
yeah, I mean, they were those heavy duty glass ones.
But I mean,
why
would kids get them?
Well, they weren't cheap to get back then. Now, I mean, you can get them a dime a dozen. But back then, they were heavy glass. They were hard to find. They were mostly like from special effects places and stuff like that.
So I'm gonna check.
And you're gonna need one that covers the entire eyeball, which are very difficult.
Well, and so. To put in and out, I mean, it just six-year-old kids doing that?
No, hell no.
I mean, my kids are 6-year-olds, and they won't even touch their eyeball.
But you got something in it.
So these next little bit are just so these are stories that people wrote mm-hmm. about their encounters, and so I'm just kind of read them as a story.
Okay,
and so we'll just go through them. So this one's called The Midnight Caller. It almost felt like a dream. I woke up to my dog, Lucy, barking. She was upright on the bed where my husband and I were sleeping with our 22-month-old daughter. Staring at our door like an unknown stranger was out there rummaging around. I thought she was just freaking out over a house noise. We'd only had her for 3 months and she was still a puppy. It could have been anything, our roommate, a creak from the house settling, the awnings moving outside in the breeze. I wasn't too concerned initially. I decided the best bet would be to open the door and show her nothing was there. It sounds a bit silly, but it's what we do with our daughter when she gets scared, and I figure it should work with a puppy. I opened the door, and she raced to the front door. She stood there, snarling at the door. It was an angry, violent growl, one I had never heard her make before. I looked groggily at her and opened the baby gate, blocking the doorway, planning to open the door and show her everything was okay. The second my hand reached for the deadbolt, Lucy went wild. She started barking and jumping toward me, and when I touched the metal, she suddenly changed her temper. She whimpered, almost like she was afraid and backing down. As her mannerism changed, so did mine. I wasn't calm anymore. My heart was racing and sinking at the same time. I had been flooded with a mixture of fear and dread. I looked through the peephole. I can't explain why I looked, but I did. Outside were two kids. One was just a smidgen shorter than me and didn't look much younger. I'm 21 and she looked to maybe be 16 or 17. She was slender and pale. Her hair was a light shade of honey blonde and she wore it long, about mid-back, with a long, thin, blunt bangs in the front that covered most of her eyes. She wore jeans, a light wash that's popular right now, and a thin-looking, olive-colored pullover-style hoodie. She held the hand of a small girl, who looked to be around 3 or 4, in the same style jeans and a button-down ivory cardigan. The smaller one looked at the floor shyly, but had the same shade of hair, tied back in a ponytail. She held a stuffed toy under her free arm, and it was identical to one my daughter has, as was her style of dress. Had it not been for the feeling of overwhelming dread and fear, I probably would have asked these children in and given them some tea or hot chocolate to get them out of the bitter cold. Something about them seemed off. At this point, I hadn't made any noise. I hadn't shushed the dog or grumbled, nothing. I hadn't turned on any lights. These kids had no indicators I was at the door. The older one spoke. She had a voice that was mature, confident, strong, accentless. She held her head tilted downward, and I couldn't see her eyes. She said, "We have to use your phone." I stood frozen in fear. How did she know I was there? She raised her head to face me directly, and that was when I saw her eyes. There was a reason I couldn't see them through the bangs before. They were black. Or midnight blue, or a dark, dark purple. They were otherworldly. She said, Our mother is worried. As someone who has always been interested in creepy stories, I knew that she was the second she looked at me through the door. I've never been one to believe in these things. As a staunch atheist and skeptic when it comes to the paranormal, I had written off many of a ghost story from friends and family members eager to tell their tale. I didn't believe it. Still, I couldn't rationalize my way out of this. I was standing with nothing but a thin wooden door between me and a black-eyed kid. There was no questioning what was right in front of me. I did not answer her. Slowly and silently, I backed away from the door. Lucy still cowering at my ankles, she kept talking. Just let us in to use your phone. I took another step back. And with that step, the tone changed. At first, she seemed polite. When I took the second step back, she became commanding, almost hostile. We're not going to hurt you. If she wanted to do that, we would have broken in. I'll guess again. May we come in your house and use your phone? Lucy snarled at the door, and I inched backward. Though something inside me seemed to slowly pulling me back toward the door. It wasn't a physical pulling as much as a subconscious need to go back and let them in. I got to my room, covered up the window, locked the door, and sat there in the dim light of the nightlight. I heard her call me back to the door once more, and then quiet. I didn't go back to sleep that night, and I haven't slept right since. I know from reading about the BEKs can't just come in without permission. I know they haven't hurt anyone, but I still fear I'll be the exception. When I told my husband, he said it was just a dream. He keeps telling me to forget it, but this lingering feeling of sadness, this dread when the house is silent at night, this fear of a knock at the door, this tells me otherwise.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I know that was a long story, but man.
Man, yeah.
And I've got, I mean, we won't be able to get to all of them tonight, but I mean, I've got 25 pages of stories like that. So there are a lot of black-eyed kid sightings out there. And you know, so some of the theories that people have are, of course, extraterrestrial is one of them. Vampire, because they have to be invited in, that whole thing around vampire. Is that in lore or is that created in the movies?
Lore. Some of it's lore. Most of the stuff from the movies is comes from some sort of lore.
Okay.
So
I just remember my wife watched a lot of that show on HBO, True Blood.
Yes.
True Blood. And I just remember every time, you know, Sookie Stackhouse would get mad, she would banish Bill from her, and he would just fly out of the house. So yeah. Anyways. So I've got another one here that is a little bit of a short one. So this is a bus encounter. I was riding the bus back home after work. It was about 1 a.m. I'm a security guard and often work odd hours. So I'm sitting there and this guy gets on, sits across from me. He was wearing a suit, had a briefcase, regular looking guy in his 20s. What struck me about him at first was that he was chewing a cigar, not smoking it. You can't smoke on the bus, so I was just looking at him while he stared out the window and chewed his cigar. And all of a sudden, he turned and looked at me. His eyes were pitch black, just as I've seen. My heart started beating like a mad MF-er. I'm not going to say it. And I felt my blood pressure rising. I was starting to panic, and I had no idea why. I was just pant-shittingly terrified. Pants. I have to remember that. Pant-shittingly terrified. Then he grinned at me, and his teeth were all covered in tobacco bits and brown juice. The cigar clamped between them. I almost screamed, but instead, I had the presence of mind to just get up and take the seat right behind the driver. I calmed down after a bit, but I kept an eye on the guy. He ended up chatting with some girl that got on, and they were still talking when I got off. I later convinced myself he was just trolling me, having fun with a pair of contacts. Now I wonder. So here's some 10 facts about Black Eyed Kids. I thought this was really interesting, so I pulled it in here. Number one, Black Eyed Kids will look like normal human children between the ages of 6 and 16, but with pale skin and completely black eyes. People who have been in close proximity to Black Eyed Kids report a feeling of unease that washed over them. While nothing about the children's appearance, aside from the eyes, genuinely frightened the people, they still reported feeling ranging from anxiety to terror at their presence.
Well, what's interesting is, too, is most of the stories that we've talked about, there always seems to be one kid that's kind of shy and, like,
yeah,
chillaxed, you know?
Well, I think, so here's the thing, and I've thought about this. What if the second kid is not really there for anything other than you wouldn't necessarily converse with one child.
But you might two.
But you might two.
Right.
And so the second child, or if they're even children, but the second, let's say, entity is there just to give them a more...
Like a false sense of security.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. I guess so.
Yeah, because in all the stories that I found and read, never does the smaller of the two say anything.
Interesting, yeah. Gosh, that's creepy.
So some people have also reported seeing black-eyed kids that have talons for feet.
Oh, no!
Or other demonic attributes. But most sightings are seemingly normal children. Black-eyed kids are also commonly described as wearing dated clothing or dressing in a manner that is not typical or of a normal child their age. Black-eyed children always ask for something. It is always something that involves being in closed quarters with you. They will ask for a ride in your vehicle or to enter your home to use the phone. There are no reported stories of what happens when you let a black-eyed kid into your vehicle or home. All stories come from people whose eerie feelings made them flee from the children.
Well, it's like it makes you wonder, because a lot of old, like, lore behind, like, trickster spirits and
yeah,
stuff, that they'll pretend to be kids and stuff, pulling pranks and stuff like that. It almost makes you wonder if these are modern day versions of that.
Yeah, or the other thing is could it be like a, and I'm gonna go out on a really long limb here, recon for an abduction.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like, hey, we're going to send you out, go to these houses. You know, we want to maybe look at these houses to abduct somebody or whatever. Go check it out.
Makes you wonder, like, to take a look at small towns to see if kids showed up at playgrounds and stuff that no one ever saw before.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, to look then to see if there were sightings or abductions or things like that, yeah.
I wonder how many abduction cases start with black-eyed kids and the abductees just don't remember.
Yeah, they just don't remember, or they didn't really, you know, pay
associated
attention to it.
Yeah.
It's just like Bethel himself. Like, it took him a while before he really even looked at the face of
yeah,
the kid.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Because most people, especially Americans, they don't look you in the eye, man. Like,
yeah.
That's so bad.
Well, actually, I look everybody in the eye, and sometimes I get in trouble. Like, somebody will say, why are you staring at me in the eyes? I'm like, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Really?
So.
Yeah, it drives me nuts as an actor when other actors don't look you in the eye. I have a friend, not going to name his name, but always used to get leads in school and stuff, would always look right over your shoulder because he had issues with, like, looking in your eye, and it drove me nuts, man.
Not, like, I always struggle with which eye to look at.
Well, that's different. That's that's when they got a crazy eye. But but no, I mean, this guy just, like, it was only on stage. When you'd be hanging out together or
yeah,
whatever, he'd look at you like it's nobody's business. But on stage, it almost makes me wonder if it was kind of up. Was he, like, trying to remember his lines?
Or maybe he thought he would laugh.
Maybe. I mean, my face is comical.
Yeah, it is. Was that the Loveland Frog?
No, that was my serpent energy.
Serpent energy.
Or whatever it was.
So, let's see here. Where was that? There's no... The earliest sighting of the Black Eyed Kids was journalist Brian Bethlen, 19... They have the date here, 1996, which is 98. Yeah. The story has been added to the internet creepypasta lore, but to this day, Bethel insists the incident was real and happened the way he reported it.
Yeah, that's what I mean, I said that from the very get-go, is that I wondered, you know, how much today is just creepypasta. So.
In 2014, a British paper reported that sightings of black-eyed kids around the world were rising. Interesting.
From the dead.
Theories about the black-eyed kids, like I said, are vampires, aliens, or demonic origin. You know, it's something we should, it kind of skirts on as a topic on our show. It kind of skirts religion a little bit, but I'd like to talk about demons sometime because I don't know that I necessarily believe in demons.
Well, I mean, I believe in real demonic lore spans much more than just Christianity and Judaism, so... You know,
but yeah,
I'd love to talk about that's right up my alley. So, Catholic.
So I'll do a topic on that. So, all right. So just a couple more stories for you here. On March 17, 2008, it says I had my one and only encounter with the black-eyed kid. Before my experience, I had never heard of anything having to do with the black-eyed kids. I was 12. I was sitting outside of a hairdresser's in an old Chevy pickup waiting for my mom to get her haircut. About 15 minutes had passed, and I saw some kid walking back and forth along the sidewalk in front of my parked car. At first, I thought I recognized him as one of my friends from school, so I banged on the front of the windshield until he looked my way. It was not anyone I knew. At this point, I was not scared at all. Not yet. The boy walked over to the side of my car and just stares. I think to let me get a good look at his eyes, to freak me out. Let me tell you, if you have never seen a black-eyed kid, you have no idea what to imagine. Pupils black as the night sky. The boy whispers, "You must let me in." And then I lock the car doors and duck down into the space below the seats. 5 minutes later, he was gone. When my mother got into the car, she told me a boy with black eyes had come into the hairdresser's, had insisted for my mother to give him the keys to the car. She refused. Thank God she did.
Again. No, but I like how this one is implied that he let me see his eyes on purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Well, and it's daylight, too, because she's at the hairdresser. I mean, it's probably not, you know, nighttime. So we've got one more for you here, and then we'll
get out of here. All right. Give me one more to take with me to my nightmares tonight.
This one time, early 2010, I was walking home from work and found myself escorting a young lady to her car. She asked me to escort her and hoping I'd talk to her into a drink or two. I'd already had a few myself. I'd get a number or possibly something else. But I'm not going to lie, she was kind of hot. No shit, though. She looked scared. I kept walking with her and was trying to at least coax her. What was she worried about? She would only comment about some really creepy-looking kids who were following her. Being where we were in downtown Seattle, this could amount to anything. So we kept walking and talking. I kept looking behind us to see if the little guys were in tow. Nothing popped up out of the ordinary. Then she grabs my arm really hard and whispered, "That's them." They were about half a block in front of us, just standing there and looking at her. So I do the prudent thing to do, which was cross the street. I make sure I lock eyes with the big one, and I keep in mind, once I get the lady her car, that I'd give them an earful about being a couple of little shits and scaring a lone woman in the metropolitan area. I didn't get scared or anything, but did notice something strange. They didn't break eye contact with me. Mind you, I don't look like the kind of guy you want to mess with. Honestly, it's an unconscious front since I'm a bit shy. My look reminds people of either a skinhead or a club bouncer. The black tanker boots and Van Dyke mixed with the above don't make me look like people person either. People break eye contact with me constantly. These two kids didn't. That was a red flag for me. I finally got this woman to her car. She said thanks, and I made sure to tell her where the local police station is at, about 5 blocks from where we were.
Let me just tell you, I question every single time in my life now I've seen a kid or kids that I didn't know. I officially am looking back, and they all have black eyes now. Yeah. Not the kind from mommy and daddy. Yeah.
You're going to have a night hag tonight, and instead of it being your typical night hag, it's going to be just a kid standing there with black eyes.
It's just going to be it's going to be the theologian's youngest kid with black eyes.
With black eyes. So, yeah, it's so getting back to pulling all this information together. It's interesting, two things. That one, like we've pointed out, it seems like the second kid doesn't really, is not
doesn't
engaging.
Say a whole lot, yeah.
Yeah. They don't really make a lot of eye contact. They don't talk. They don't motion or whatever. I mean, I feel like the story that I read about the woman with her puppy, if the younger kid staying in there would have been like, I really have to go to the bathroom, I feel like she would have let her in.
Yeah, I think
so
too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
they're not using the little kid
right
good enough.
Yeah. But and then two, that the idea that maybe they can change their eyes to be all black versus not all black.
Right. Yeah.
Makes you wonder if all the stories of the men in black wearing sunglasses were because they were black eyed.
Well, and there's old lore too, and still exists today, where they say that some, whether shamans or when they're possessed or there are gods or goddesses or whatever, that their eyes are black, but really when you take a look, there's stars in there as well, and like that they're these star-filled obsidian eyes.
Yeah.
Like, makes you wonder if they're a part of that lore as well.
Well, and I mean, I don't think anybody got really close enough to make out if there were stars.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it very well could be. But yeah, it's all very interesting. I thank God I could probably live my entire life without meeting a black-eyed kid. I'd be
well. Here's another thing I'm going to throw. This my own. This is the Stefan Gearhart theory of the show. That they're grays wearing a freaking mask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they have black eyes. You know what if that is that's they cover it up. That's why they're black.
Right. Well, that, you know, and it gets back to the whole olive tone skin, which
right.
is what's something described as the men in black. And what if the men in black are grays?
Right.
Which is why they need their water pills.
That's right. They're gray and black.
Yeah.
I don't know. Very, very interesting. I am curious out there if anyone out there in Fearscape listener land, any of our blanket huggers out there, has had any experiences themselves. Because we have not received a story about anyone with black-eyed kids. But
no.
You never know.
But maybe somebody didn't know that it was a worldwide phenomenon.
I know. I'm very much waiting for a movie to come out now.
There has been a movie.
Oh, there has been?
Yeah.
It wasn't first run, though, was it? Couldn't have been, because I would have seen it. So it had to be some B movie. But, I mean, that's what I'm looking for. It's like a first run movie out there. So what do we got? Black Eyed Peas movie.
Yeah, it got 1.5 stars.
Yeah, it looks like 2015.
Yep, on IMDb.
Black Eyed Children, Let Me In. Looks like it might be on Amazon Prime. I'll check it out. But yeah, not a first run movie yet. But yeah, or having it show up in another series like The Conjuring or something like that. So, I don't know. Very, very interesting. Again, like I said, if you have any stories, please let us know. And that pushes me to the end of our show, where I want to bring up our listener story for the week before we truly fully get out of here. But thank you, Josh, for putting all that together.
Yep.
It's very, very creepy stuff. So anyways, so I want to get into the listener story for the week. This comes from a guy named Chris. He's from California. And this will actually be read by me. This is performed by me. But anyways, like, this is a fun story. It's not very long, but it's one that just gets you, because we've all kind of had this happen before and stuff like that. Remember, you guys can send your listener stories to us at fearscapepodcast@gmail.com or onto fearscapepodcast.com to submit a sighting, or just, you know, PM us or anything, wherever you can find
all
us.
All social media stuff. Yep. Yep.
But here is Chris from California.
My name is Chris, and I'm from the desert regions of California, and this is my experience with the unexplained. I was riding a four-wheeler with my dad in the desert about 12 years ago near Joshua Tree. This was one night, and as we were headed back, I looked over to the right as the moon was shining high, and I saw a dark figure about 20 feet away from me that damn near made me fly off of my four-wheeler. But I wasn't sure what I saw, so I turned my head to the left as I saw my dad, and I was going to tell him something to him to see, you know, maybe if he saw it too or make some sort of reference to it. So I quickly looked back to just double-check to see where it was, and there I saw it and watched it disappear in front of me. At that point, I pushed that four-wheeler to the limit and booked it to where we were staying, beating my dad back. For some reason, to this day, I still don't know why, but I decided not to say anything to my dad, but I've always wondered if he saw something too.
Wow. You know, it gets back to, I bet you his dad did see something.
I know. I wonder. And what I wonder is if they got back to that spot and it was just quiet.
Yeah. But I mean, I think for a lot of, look, we've talked about it before, but for a lot of parents, they don't want to scare their kids.
Right.
Like, I feel like if he would have asked his dad, hey, did you see that too? His dad probably would have said yes, but his dad's not going to voluntarily say, hey, did you see that weird thing?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, oh, yeah.
So, because he don't want to scare his kids. Plus, for some people who just cannot accept that there are other things that go bump in the night. It's a big stretch to admit you saw something, because you're worried you're going to be labeled some way, shape, or form as being a crazy person or whatever the case may be. But you know, as we've talked about before, and we talked about it a few weeks back with Ken Gearhart. There's too many things that we find new every year. Too many things that we don't know.
Yeah.
To just assume that if you saw something that's quote-unquote weird, that you're going to be labeled as a crazy person.
Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore,
no.
Anyways.
Unless you're a flat earther.
And in fact, at this point, it's less crazy and more, oh, you made that up.
Yeah.
It's more, you're more looked at as creating a hoax or
writing
a fiction narrative. And you know, I was speaking to one of our blanket huggers out there, one of our biggest fans, Doug, the other night. And he sent me a video, and we were looking at the video, and I was pretty early on was pretty able to figure out that it was a hoax and things like that. And I said, it's a shame. I said, because it's these videos that make it so difficult for people to have real evidence out there.
Yeah.
You know, so it sucks. So, you know, those people aren't coming from our community, you know?
Yeah.
It's like anything else, you know, there's always like the true people and then the people trying to create dissent or hoaxes, or unless you're Gray Barker, then you're doing both.
Which just totally just, you know, discredits you all together.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to get out of here. But again, make sure to check out all of our stuff, fearscapepodcast.com, as well as the rest of the Fearscape Media Network at fearscapemedia.com. You know, there you can check out our PayPal, you know, help us, roll some money this way to help us, you know, do some bigger and better things, not just for us, but for the whole network.
Right.
And check out the other shows that are on the network and all that stuff. And remember, it's October, so the veil is thinner.
That's
so
right.
Pay attention this,
right.
You know, keep pay attention right now. You know, you have something happen, you write it down and you send it to us.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Yes. So that always just grossed me out. Anyways, keep your eyes to the skies and, pay attention wherever you're at and see if something whispers to you, touches you, or, you know, you feel something or you see something.
And remember, the evidence is not for us. The evidence is for yourself.
Yep.
To help you know that you know something's going on.
Yep.
And if you feel like you want to share that with us, share it with us.
Yep. So anyways, happy spooky season as usual. And we're going to get out of here. But thank you guys so much for tuning in to Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. This has been Stefan, and I will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Josh. The truth is out there.
And remember, folks, hold those blankets extra tight, especially when there's two little kids with blacked eyes. Because things tend to get spooky when you're listening to Fearscape. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I'm so glad you were able to join us for that horrifying discussion. I hope they didn't frighten you too much. Tune in next week for even more research into the nightmarish and haunting creeps and spooks that we tell ourselves don't exist, but we know they do. Make sure you have your blankets, that you hold them extra tight. Next time on Fearscape. Coming to you from nowhere, a suburb of parts unknown. Join Stefan and Lance, the Misters of the Dark, as they review all things horror with their latest victim. I mean guest. New episodes of Misters of the Dark drop Mondays on the Fearscape Media Network.
Hey everyone, Josh here. Do you feel like mainstream options for things such as yoga, meditation, or documentaries and films meant to expand your mind are lacking? Have you heard of Gaia? Gaia is the largest resource of consciousness-expanding videos. Both Stefan and I have watched several of the series, documentaries, and films available on topics such as the secret space program, channeling interdimensional beings, and alien encounters. We're just now exploring the over 8,000 films, shows, and classes available to stream on your favorite devices. To get your 10-day free trial of Gaia, go to fearscapepodcast.com/Gaia offer. Again, that's fearscapepodcast.com/GAIA offer.